Isaiah 55:8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Isaiah 55:8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Isaiah 55:8. Proverbs 2:10-11. When wisdom enters into your heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto your soul, discretion shall preserve you, understanding shall keep you. Proverbs 2:10-11. When wisdom enters into your heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto your soul, discretion shall preserve you, understanding shall keep you. Proverbs 2:10-11. Hold it just a moment. Psalm 16:11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16:11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16:11. Jeremiah 9:23. Do not let a wise man boast of his wisdom, and do not let the mighty man boast of his might. And do not let a rich man boast of his riches. Jeremiah 9:23. Do not let a wise man boast of his wisdom, and do not let the mighty man boast of his might. And do not let a rich man boast of his riches. Jeremiah 9:23. Proverbs 3:13. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Proverbs 3:13. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Proverbs 3:13. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. I see that you can see it on the screen. I cannot see it on my monitor. But that's okay with me, as long as you can see it on the screen. 1 Timothy 6:17, if you will, please. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study today, realizing the importance of focusing our minds upon the eternal Word of God. God's Word is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. You and I have the responsibility of having the thinking of our Savior Jesus Christ, and that's our reason for being here. Once again, to turn our attention away from the distractions of the world and focus our minds upon God's Word. May we pray together, please. Father, we rejoice again today that we are members of your family, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have the assurance that one of these days, we do not know just when, our time on this earth will be over. It'll take place either by means of the rapture or it'll take place by means of physical death. We thank you for all that you've done for us in making it possible for us to have the assurance that to be absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord. We thank you for the ability to have capacity, not only capacity, but capacity for life. Help us to realize how important it is that God's Word is that which is absolutely essential and necessary for our empty souls to be filled. Thank you for the opportunity now to focus our minds again on these wonderful truths. In Jesus' name, amen. My mind rushes through the pages of time all the way back to the time when there was a little lady sitting on the back row by the name of Alice Cone. Passing down through the period of time, there comes Bob and Fay Crunk. Passing on down through the time comes Allison and Charisse and Patrick, who spoke to you today. When I think in terms of what just happened in the previous service, I want to remind you of the fact that what took place was the result, I believe, of consistency and capacity for God and His Word over a period of time. What I have seen in individuals like the one who spoke today, I've seen in other individuals as they've been faithful and true to the receiving the Word of God consistently and faithfully over a period of time. When I see that, I see also the responsibility that I have in relationship to someone like Kent Snyder, who is responsible for communication this coming Wednesday. When I realize what can happen to individuals' lives if they will be faithful and true to the study of God's Word over a period of years, it makes all the difference in the world. Some weeks ago, when Pat and I were talking about this session, what he didn't know at that time, I was making preparation for the subject, What Fills an Empty Soul? What fills an empty soul? If you'll look at the subject of this first session today, you'll see it is what is in control of the soul. Does God work things together for His honor and glory and for our good? Yes. When I come to this scripture, 1 Timothy 6:17, I see capacity. I not only see capacity, but I see capacity for life. I find myself getting the heartbeat of the Apostle Paul with his concern for a young minister. The young minister's name was Timothy. And what I read here, what I've studied over a period of weeks now in preparation for this session, it gives me great joy and peace and happiness in my soul, as I've been able to listen to what has transpired in the first session and then look forward to the message on Wednesday night. My appreciation to Ray Sullins for the message last Wednesday. The heartbeat of the Apostle Paul is beautifully depicted in our verse here today. You see it on the screen. The more that I look at this verse, the more I see beautiful, magnificent Greek words. And I just want to ask you to bow down with me over those individual words. And I'm aware of the fact that if I did that, I would not be able to give you the information that I want to give you. But I do want you to see how fantastic it is in the passage of Scripture that's on the screen. I read, the rich in the present age command that not high-minded, nor to have set hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, the one offering to us all things richly for enjoyment. You will notice on the back of your bulletin today, there is the translation from the German. Notice, if you will, to the rich in the present day, command not to be haughty, nor to give hope to the uncertainty of wealth, but to God, who gives us abundantly for our enjoyment. You notice it just simply says for the enjoyment. But the emphasis is there is for our enjoyment. If you will notice, please, with me today, I want you to see that there is the word plutotos, which is the word for riches. We have the article the riches in the now age. I enjoy looking with you at these individual words because I want you to see how uniquely powerful they are. The rich, the plutocrats, in this now age, in this present age, command. I stop with you and let you look with me at this magnificent word, command. Here it is. P-A-R-A-G-G-E-L-L-O. I immediately am able to see that this is a compound word made up of two parts. The first part of it is P-A-R and then A-G-G-E-L-L-E, which is A-G-G-E-L-L-O as a root word. So I'm able to show you that this word, para-angelo, has two parts. And when I take a look at this last part of the word, I see A-G-G-E-L-L-O. And I realize that when you have two G's in the Greek, it is N-G. So immediately I'm able to see A-N-G-E-L-L-O. I'll have to take off a suffix, and what do I find? A-N-G-E-L. Angel. What is an angel? An angel is a messenger, one who has a message and who's responsible for giving that message out. So what am I thinking? Apostle Paul, what are you saying to Timothy, the younger minister here? What are you saying? I believe God is saying through the Apostle Paul to Timothy what he wants me to say to you. From this passage of Scripture, the plutocrats in this present age, the rich in this present age, command. And you'll notice that the word there is used as an imperative verb. It's a command. So the Apostle Paul is saying to the young minister, Timothy, you have a responsibility. And your responsibility is to tell people, no matter how rich or poor they are, that they need to give consideration to some very facts of life. And that is that they're not to be supercilious, braggadocious, and always egotistical. If they are the recipients of blessings from a financial standpoint, that's okay, as long as that will not bring about in their lives the attitude of being high-minded. Are you with me? Are you able to see it? You'll say, well, why are you saying that? Why do you get that? I'll tell you. The rich in this now age, Paul said to Timothy, for his responsibility to the people, command them that not high-minded. Now, what I have to show you is the reason I said that is because the Greek word P-H-R-O-N-E-O, phroneo, is the word which means to think. And the first part of this word means high. To think, not high-mindedly. Are you with me? We're trying to lay a foundation for you to be able to see in a few moments why I'm using the word capacity or capacity for life. The rich in the present age, the rich in the now age, command them that they not be supercilious, braggadocious, high-minded, nor to have set their hope, and the word hope is elpis, to set their hope on the uncertainty of riches. Now, you can see why I would get so excited about all these individual words and want to just stop on every one of them. But I can't do that because I want you to be able to see an overview. The rich in this now age command, give them information that they not be high-minded, nor to place their hope on the uncertainty of riches. But their responsibility is to place their attention on God. What am I saying here? Are you seeing it with me? Here's the conjunction of contrast. Allah, A-L-L, but on God. Because God is the one offering to all of us all things richly for our enjoyment. Now, what is it that fills the empty soul? Please look at this with me. Capacity for living is totally dependent upon my response, your response to God. Capacity for life, capacity. Capacity for living is totally dependent upon our individual response to God. You see how powerful that is? How wonderful it is? Number two, capacity means then that we move from instability and insecurity to stability and security. God desires that each one of us as born again believers move from insecurity and instability to stability and security. Number three, there are many roadblocks in life, but when we advance in God's plan and have this advance in large capacity, the roadblocks of life are going to be removed. Not all at one time, but along the way, more and more roadblocks will be removed. You and I must realize that life is filled with many roadblocks. One of the greatest things that you and I need to be able to see is that Satan is continually in process of throwing into our lives roadblocks. He does not want us to love God. He does not want us to be obedient to God's plan. He does not want us to have the thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ. He does not desire that we have joy and peace and happiness in this life. Satan is in the business of throwing roadblocks into our lives every day, to our younger people, to the middle age, to the older. God needs to remind us again, and he's doing it through this verse, that we must see that roadblocks are being thrown in. Capacity number four means that the priorities are straight. No one makes the decision for priorities for you than you. No one makes the decision for priorities for me than for myself. So capacity means that the priorities are straight. Number five, the source of blessings rather than the blessings reveal our occupation with Jesus Christ. I want you to be able to see this very clearly. Notice again, the source of blessings rather than the blessings reveals occupation with Jesus Christ. So many times the focus of individuals are on the blessings. And oftentimes the focus on the blessings will remove the focus on the source of those blessings. And that's bad. Number six, capacity is the result of our occupation with Jesus Christ and absolutely nothing else. I'm going slowly here, but I want you to be able to see it. Satan is in the business of throwing the roadblocks. No matter where we are in life, young, middle-aged, older, roadblocks are being cast our way every day. And we individually have to make a decision of what we're going to do in the light of that. Number seven, consistent Christian advance keeps the priorities straight. Consistent Christian advance keeps the priorities straight. Number eight, neglecting Bible study results in the focus moving from bless are to blessings. I want you to see it again. When an individual puts attention on the blessings, oftentimes there's the neglect of the emphasis upon the blessor. I'm giving you time to think about it. In your life, in my life, where's the emphasis placed? Is it placed upon all the things that we enjoy and have? Or is it upon the blessor more than the blessings? Number nine, love for the blessor will cause the blessed to enjoy the blessings. I smile when I say that. I even chuckle a little bit. Love for the blessor will cause the blessed to enjoy the blessings. There are a lot of wealthy individuals today who are extremely miserable. There are a lot of people who have a lot of things related to the world's goods, but they're frustrated and confused and perplexed and bewildered and miserable. You see what I'm saying? It's sad, very sad, that so many times we are guilty of putting the emphasis upon the insignificant and leaving out the significant. We put our attention on those things that are wonderful and good, but not the major things of life. There's not anything wrong with family. There's not anything wrong with the material things of life. There's not anything wrong with enjoying these things, but I'm promising you today, if that's where our total emphasis is, we're going to be miserable individuals. Love for the blessor will cause the blessed to enjoy the blessings. God owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. He may choose to send some of those cattle your way. When those cattle get there, what's it going to do for you? Is it going to ruin you or is it going to bless you? The reason why many of the cattle are not there is because God already sees what you're going to do when you get the cattle, and so He chooses not to send the cattle your way or my way. I trust you're really listening today because I want you to understand we're talking about capacity and we're talking about capacity for life. Number 10, our confidence is in the source of the blessings in order to enjoy the content of the blessings. Do you see it? Our confidence is in the source of the blessings in order to enjoy the content of the blessings. Our scripture is so fantastic. 1 Timothy 6:17. Go back and look at it. The rich in the present time, the rich in the present age. What is so beautiful about this verse is that it has noon, N-U-N, which says the rich in the now age. Command. The Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God, is saying to Timothy, this younger minister, I have a responsibility that I want to lay upon your heart, and your responsibility to the individuals who have been successful in life and they are rich financially. Command them not to be high-minded, nor to place their attention totally upon the uncertainty of riches. You follow it? You see it? But epi upon God. Can you see how beautiful these words are in the original language? Can you see how God is saying to each one in this auditorium today and every person who hears my voice, please, please, whatever you're doing, place your emphasis upon God, not upon the uncertainty of the things of this world. Because God is the one offering to us all things richly for our enjoyment. Okay, capacity defined. I should have this in parentheses, but I have a Roman numeral here, so that's 1, 2, 3 is okay, if you're following me. I came back and looked at this and wondered whether I had done this correctly, and then I got proud of myself and said I did it right. Capacity means the ability to receive, to hold on to absorb, to comprehend, to realize how fantastic it is what God is doing for us. Capacity means the ability to learn and retain knowledge. There are synonyms for capacity: volume, size, dimensions, bulk. Did you notice in that first session today what Patrick did there? He took from his own background, he took the biblical information and he diagrammed it for us. Now, some years ago when Pat first began to give me this information, what I thought I would do, I would preach it rather than Pat. And you know what? The more I looked at this information, the more I realized that it was kind of like Hebrew to some people. It was kind of like Greek to some people. And it was Russian to me. And I said, you know what? Pat, you have this information. You have been able to comprehend this information. You've been able to describe this information. And so you're going to have to be the one to tell it. And he did this morning. Capacity, volume, size, dimensions, bulk. Look at this, though. That was number one, capacity defined. Number two, self-discipline and daily concentration upon God's Word. Those things are necessary for spiritual advance. That's not new to you. But it is powerful to be able to see that what you're doing in this auditorium right now, you're sitting there and you're listening attentively and carefully, and that demands self-discipline. You're not allowing your mind to wander in many different directions, but you're listening attentively and carefully to the words that are spoken, and you're beginning to comprehend, absorb, understand, and see what's being presented. Self-discipline and daily concentration upon God's Word are necessary for spiritual advance. We're talking about capacity. Number three, capacity for living means to move, as I've already said, from instability and insecurity, which means dependence on a world system. Dependence upon a world system. Many people are looking at things from the standpoint of a global world system rather than from a divine vertical viewpoint. Capacity for living means to move from instability and insecurity to the high road of stability and security. So what we're doing, we're removing ourselves from dependence upon the world system and placing our dependence upon God's grace system. Number four. Capacity then is totally dependent upon a proper response to the God who made us, the God who loves us, and the God who has a fantastic plan for our individual lives. I could not say it better than I've just said it. Capacity is totally a person with total dependence to have a proper response to the God who made us, who loves us, and has a fantastic plan for our lives. Do you think for one moment that your existence on this earth and your presence in this auditorium now is an accident? Of course not. You know why you're still alive? You know why I'm still alive? Because God wants us to still be alive. I promise you, when God gets ready for us to go, you're not going to be late for that appointment. You're going to go. When God wants your heart to stop ticking, it will stop ticking. When God wants you and me to breathe for our last time, we're going to breathe for our last time. God is the author, and He is the one in charge of your life and mine. You think He has a fantastic plan for us? Of course He does. Do you think that He wants us to be indifferent to His plan? Do you think that He wants us to be a person filled with lethargy and indifference to His plan? Of course not. Capacity is totally dependent upon a proper response to the God who made us, loves us, and has a fantastic plan for us. Number five, apart from a perpetual, ceaseless, incessant, daily intake of spiritual food, no blessing is worth having. I appreciate God's blessings, don't you? I really, really do. And I realize that with God, there are no limitations. And I realize that God knows what you and I can stand as far as blessings and what He could give us, which would ruin us, and so He chooses not to let us have it. Capacity. We're talking about capacity. We're not talking about relationship to things. We're talking about a relationship to God, who owns all things. Apart from a perpetual, ceaseless, incessant, daily intake of spiritual food, it wouldn't matter how many great blessings we would have. They would not be worth having. Number seven. Priorities will be kept straight when a person is consistently occupied with the Lord Jesus Christ. You may wonder why I'm going slowly today. I'm going slowly because each one of these points is extremely powerful. Priorities will be kept straight when a person is consistently occupied with the Lord Jesus Christ. Number seven, a person grace-oriented, that's what occupation with Christ means, focuses on the source of blessings rather than the blessings. You'd say, well, preacher, you've said that. Yes, I have. You've repeated it, preacher. I've heard that. That's right, I have. But I'm doing it again. Priorities will be kept straight when a person is consistently occupied with Jesus Christ. Number seven, a person grace-oriented focuses on the source of blessing rather than the blessings. Number eight, true capacity resides in the soul. Therefore, true love and happiness reside in the soul. You've been hearing about that today. As a born-again believer, your body, soul, and spirit. Having been born into God's kingdom, God has given you and me the ability to comprehend and appreciate those things in the realm of the spiritual. Living in a physical world, we have a body and we have the ability to comprehend and understand things in the physical realm. Body, soul, spirit. True capacity resides in the soul. Therefore, true love and happiness reside in the soul. Number nine, Christian advance is the only way that priorities in life can remain straight. Christian advance is the only way that priorities in life can remain straight. And the last point, we must place our confidence in the source of the blessings in order to enjoy the content of the blessings. We're going to spend a few seconds there for you to think about that. We must place our confidence in the source of the blessings in order to enjoy the content of the blessings. When the believer neglects truth, the focus then will be upon the blessings. And when confidence is, on the blessor, then the blessings can be appreciated and enjoyed. Let's look at that again. We must place our confidence in the source of the blessings in order to enjoy the content of the blessings. When the believer neglects the truth, then the focus will be upon the blessings. But when we have our confidence on the blessor, then the blessings can really be appreciated. What is Paul saying to Timothy? Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but place their attention upon God, who richly supplies us with all things for our enjoyment. Can you see it? The question is, where is our attention placed? Is it being placed upon the blessor, the source? Are we also right now just looking at all the blessings we have and focusing our attention upon the blessings? How tragic and sad. Capacity. Capacity for life. What really fills an empty soul? It's God and God's Word and God's plan. May we pray together, please. We have a few moments now before we leave. The question that I have for all of you, not only in this auditorium, but every ear that hears these words today, where is your priority? If you have an empty soul today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I can assure you that that soul can be transformed at this very moment if you, within your own being, your own heart, if you will accept Jesus Christ personally as your Savior. Because the Bible says, if you have the Son, you have life. If you do not have the Son, you do not have life. That just simply says that Jesus is the only way of salvation. And the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. How wonderful it is to be able to say to you today, that without doubt, with the authority of the Word of God, I can tell you without any doubt whatsoever that if you're unsaved at this moment, you don't have to stay that way any longer. You can believe at this very moment and be born into God's kingdom. Father, we're thankful for this day and for the magnificent power of the Word of God, and thank you for the ability to increase and enlarge our capacity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you're dismissed.